This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Eun Teik. Migrant Recruitment Advisor is a website created by the International Trade Union Confederation, or ITUC. It is an employment review platform, sort of like a TripAdvisor or Yelp, for migrant workers looking for information about recruitment agencies and countries of destination. Here to tell me more about the website is the project's global coordinator, Ira Rahmawati. She is a project officer for human and trade union rights at ITUC. Joining her is Lindu Livan, a project organizer and recruitment officer at the National Union of Bank Employees, an affiliate of the Malaysian Trades Union Congress. Lindu is the recruitment advisor's coordinator in Malaysia. Ira Rahmawati and Lindu Livan, welcome to the show. Ira, can I begin with you to give us an overview of the work that the ITUC do?
Well, the ITUC, we are based, our headquarters is based in Brussels, in Belgium, and we represent 202 million workers in 163 countries and territories, and has 331 national affiliates, including MTUC, Malaysian Trade Union Congress. A workers' union, we basically, the principle is to bring or to build workers' power by unity. So unionizing, meaning organizing, meaning building a collective power of the workers. One voice will be less heard, but a million to 100 million workers' voice obviously will be loud.
So I guess the reason why you're in Malaysia is to launch a new project or a website called the Migrant Recruitment Advisor website. Tell me how that works. How are you bringing this work to the web platform?
So this initiative is related to what I just mentioned on our main work to build workers' power, to make sure that the workers, you know, they receive their rights, and they can also have a collective bargaining power when it comes to benefits, negotiations, including capacity building, negotiations to be provided by their employers, and more importantly, following a long history of the ITUC of supporting migrant workers' cases. In 2014, during the ITUC's Congress in Berlin, we decided to put in the agenda on actions to also start mobilize our affiliates who is in the country with a lot of migrant workers to organize migrant workers to also put effort in the protection of the migrant workers, because they are all workers and the union's mandate is to protect workers. And so this project, a recruitment advisor, it's basically a global recruitment and employment review platform that offering you easy access to information about recruitment agencies. Recruitment is an angle that we chose when we decided to go on the effort of the protections of the migrant workers, because the recruitment process is the first thing that the migrant workers or any worker has to go through before they get their job. And in the case of migrant workers, the recruitment process is a lot more complicated, complex, related to so many aspects, so many different laws in the country of origins, in the country of destinations, not only on the labor rights law, immigration law is there as well, and many more.
We'll come back to these issues in a bit. But Lindu, where do you come in terms of the recruitment advisor?
Okay, as Ira already explained on the project, it's basically ITUC had choose four pilot countries, Nepal, Indonesia, Philippines, and Malaysia, And as Malaysia as one of destinations country from Nepal, Philippines and Indonesia. So that's a very crucial to be involved in this project. So that's why they decided to choose each country will have a national coordinator to in charge for this project. The role of the national coordinator is to coordinating with other NGOs and the migrant community here in Malaysia that actively involved in organizing and mobilizing their workers to get the review in the recruitment process.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, and not to trivialize the website, is it almost like a TripAdvisor or a Yelp for migrant workers? And if so, how are the reviews solicited?
You're definitely right. That's how we get inspired. Well, as we can see now how this kind of website with reviews, or we call it peer-to-peer reviews, how you can get more convinced when other worker, in this case, share their experience on the recruitment, that will be more convincing than a recruitment agent saying to you, I'm a good agent. So that's where the idea or the innovative idea, it's also something that is new for a union work. It's not our traditional way of doing work as a union. And the reviews, for the first stage of the development of the project, we indeed focus on the offline activities or outreach activities. That's why what Lindu just mentioned, she engaged with different nationality of migrant communities, other civil societies, different unions whose sectors have or cover a lot of migrant workers. So we focus on doing the outreach activities, collecting reviews offline for the first stage, and so as to give more credibility of each reviews. So by the time we actually put the website to go live, it will already have reviews. Then after that, we can continue and focus on the actual online reviews collections and so on. Yeah.
Linus, so how are you going about this task of reaching out to the different communities or different categories of migrant workers in Malaysia?
Okay. Firstly, the initial part we done on the consultations. So we had a meeting with the migrant organizer leaders. And also we had a consultation with the trade unions and NGOs to find out how are their views in this project. So we're in the stage of mobilizing the organizer leaders, and we guide them on how to do the review based on the questionnaires. And then after that, they will go to their community, and then they will share how is the review done, how is the website. So it's basically we are pushing the organizer leader. I mean, we are journey together with the organizer leaders from the workers itself. So it's kind of like we don't go directly with them, but it's kind of like we are working together, as Ira mentions, the unity. So I feel it's very important for the migrant workers to have the ownerships for the project itself. It's not like as the organizer, the main organizer, go to the community and do the project. It's not like, it's, the principle is not like that. So we're trying to bring the migrant as the owner of this project as well. So that's why we always involve them in the process. We explain them the process, how is the process is going to be like. So we not left them behind. So I feel that in these few months, since last year, I feel that is very empowering, encouraging, because we got some criticisms on the process, but at the same time, we still try to manage to improve it. So I think that's very important, because I feel that recruitment process is very important to look into it, because it's actually is the first start of establishing the employment, and a lot of issues happening start from the country of origins, where like the substitution of contract happens, and the workers need to pay the levy by themselves. So it's along the way there is abuses happens.
What are some of these criticisms?
One of it is the migrant workers doesn't have the internet, especially for domestic workers. It's very difficult for them to access internet, and some of them doesn't have the mobile phone because the employer took the phone from them. Yeah, so that is one of the challenges. And then also to outreach to the workers to the ground. So you need to go to the factory. For example, for the domestic worker, you need to go to the house and need to gather them in one day on Sunday if they have the off day. So it's big challenges lah for the organizer here because the area and then the timing, yeah.
What about language barrier?
Language barrier also, that's why we approach the organizer because they can speak with their own language. It's very difficult for us to approach them directly because we can't speak Nepali, we can't speak Tagalog. Some of them cannot understand English. So that's why this organizer will translate whenever we have the training sessions. So they will help us to translate into their own language.
Yeah. But overall, are they receptive to at least the idea of having a website that gives a platform for migrant workers themselves to provide a testimony or review of their experience here?
In this stage up now, because we haven't tested the websites yet, there is positive with this project because they feel that they can go into the website and access to the law, policies, and at the same time, they can also know the contact, especially here in Malaysia. But there is some concerns, like they're scared that the employer will know they do the review. So, but I think we try to like manage it, right? Yeah, so because they're concerned on the security. But their website is a very good platform to reach out because if we can really teach the workers how to go to the websites and how to do the online, and then yeah, it's a very good platform for them to know more information, because I understand this website is not only one language, it will be four languages. Well, yeah.
I'm speaking today to Ira Rahmawati and Lindu Livan about the Migrant Recruitment Advisor. I'll ask Ira why the four pilot countries were chosen after the break. BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Trot and Tick. If you have a question or comments about the show, get in touch through our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. My guests today are Ira Rahmawati from the International Trade Union Confederation and Lindu Livan from the National Union of Bank Employees. We're discussing the Migrant Recruitment Advisor, a website that offers first-hand reviews about working conditions and recruitment practices. These reviews are written by migrant workers for prospective migrants looking to work in a foreign country. The website is inspired by other review platforms such as TripAdvisor and Yelp. And Ira is Recruitment Advisor's global coordinator, while Lindu is its coordinator in Malaysia. So, Ira, why were these four pilot countries chosen?
Well, it's obvious how statistically a huge number of Indonesian migrant workers, Filipino migrant workers, Nepali migrant workers in Malaysia on this context. And another thing is that we as the union, ITUC, has the affiliates in these four countries that we consider ready and willing to put more effort not only to organize their local workers, but also to engage with migrant workers issue or organizing migrant workers. So that's the first thing. We need someone in the, or sorry, we need our affiliates or union in the country to be also ready to take up this initiative, but also looking at the context of the movement of the people in that region.
So looking at these four countries, would it be wrong to assume that three of them are labor exporting country, where one is a country of destination?
Yeah.
And was it intentional? Aside from the fact that you have the networks here to work with, was there an intention to look at the effects of addressing the issue of migration through the lens of a country of origin versus the country of destination?
100% correct. Even though we realize that we also will have to enable the country of destination, such Malaysia, to then become also a country of origin. You see, there are many numbers of Malaysian workers in Australia or New Zealand. But for this first phase of the website development, we put Malaysia, in this case, as country of destination, and Indonesia, Philippines, and Nepal as country of origin.
Are you engaging governments in any of these four countries to get involved in this project?
Yes. In fact, after this, we will have this agenda with the Indonesian embassy to, well, it has been a continuous communication. So in this opportunity, the last 2 days, we had this regional meeting of the Migrant Recruitment Advisor Coordination Team in Malaysia. The purpose is obviously to also be able for the origin countries team, let's say, to actually look at the reality in the destination country and also enable them to reach out to the migrant workers from their national. And so the government's involvement is, first of all, we will be reviewing recruitment agencies of the country of origin. So we can only get the list of licensed recruitment agents from the government. And secondly, we definitely want to share the results, the outcome of the reviews to the government for their evaluations on the licensing system for the recruitment agencies, either maybe blacklisted, revoking, so that they also have the feedback. And another thing is that the website will also provide a link to a complaint mechanism. And the government, each government has its complaint mechanism. So we have to engage with the government, definitely in this case.
Lindu, it's crazy to think that this is the first such website that's been created. Previously, what resource was available to people thinking of moving abroad to work without this website? How did you try to get a feel or understand what the country of destination or what the working conditions would be like?
Before this project coming in, the workers, the migrant organizers, there's NGOs that working very closely with the migrant workers' issues here in Malaysia. Especially one of it is North Shore Initiatives. So they have been working, I think, for many years to tackle the issues, not only the migrant workers' issues, also the trafficking issues, refugees. And here there is a migrant resource center under the MTUC, also providing the services for the migrant workers to handle cases. And they're also part of in organizing the workers. So complementary for this this project. I can say that this project is complementary.
It's a tool.
Yeah.
But before they get here, who would they speak to? Or
Sorry, I'm impatient because I just got this experience yesterday when visiting a hostel of Nepali migrant workers, where we share exactly the same thing I pointed at them. So how did you choose the recruitment agent, or how did you choose the country to go to? How did you get all this information and finally make a decision? And they said, it's totally different story from one to another. But it's funny how, one said, simply open newspaper, look at the highest proposed salary. That's how they choose the recruitment agent and the country of destination or the employer. And the other will be like their friend will share that they are in Malaysia working with this company, and they will, in the first months, things seems okay or hope are still high. So it's like, okay, it seems promising, and so they also joining. But it's amazing how quickly they made the decisions without trying to get more information. But what I can understand as well, that shows how desperate they are to earn for the family, to that hope of a better life pushes them to, like, let's just go. wherever it is, it should be better than this place where I am, that kind of thing. So when it comes to when I pointed out, how would you feel if you have this kind of platform that could, you know, give you information more on the options of the employment, of the recruitment, and they are very happy. But at the same time, I also mentioned like how much we will need their contribution to the website in order to bring or to give a more valid information or testimony on the recruitment process that they have been through. So I think it will be very, very good, but yeah, still, because of the constraint on the technology, yeah, access, we still count on the national coordination team in the first stage to promote the initiative. Yeah.
So, Lindu, listening to Ira speak about this, is it fair to assume that most of these recruitment ads are misleading? The salaries are not always that high, the conditions aren't always that good, and the work isn't always what it is.
Yes. It's basically from the recruitment process itself, it's not transparent. It's bring to all of the abuses. Like one of the cases that I counter is the workers will have two contracts. They have one contract from the country of origin, and they have another contract here in Malaysia. So the term and conditions are different. And then the mostly term and conditions are more abusive. No annual leave. The salary will be deducted.
How does that happen, that two contracts are given, one from the origin and one from the country of destination?
This one is I just giving some of my experience in handling cases before. These workers receive a very good contract in country of origin, and everything went very well. They signed the contract, but after they reach here in Malaysia, at the airport itself, they given another contract. And when the workers doesn't want to sign the contract, this person force them to sign. If you are not sign this contract, you will send you back to the country of origin. Because no choice, the workers have to sign.
No choice because they have already
because
paid.
They're being forced, being threatened. So they need to work after that. And then after a few months, they only found out that actually the contract is not favorable with them. Yeah, so one case is they're not allowed to take annual leave for 2 years until the contract's finished. This is one of the example, yeah.
So when instances like this, what is preventing or what stands in the way from them going to the authorities?
Because this actually it starts from the country of origin itself. I mean, the recruitment process should be transparent. So it should be preventing there. I mean, they should get the good agents that very transparent. But I feel that it's basically very difficult for the workers itself also, because of desperations to get a job abroad. So some of them just simply get the agents and do the process to get a job here, and then end up being abused in Malaysia. So it's basically after they involved in the violations, basically they will call NGOs that helping in rescue, and some of them will go to the embassy directly to get the help. So embassy, NGOs will always cooperate together to in handling the cases. Yeah, but I feel it's most important is preventing before it's happening. Mm-hmm. It's strategic. I think we should think more on how to improve the recruitment policies, how to have this fair recruitment before it happens to the workers. Yeah.
And so, Ira, is the problem the agency model itself, or are they merely exploiting gaps in legislations in these countries?
I can say both, actually. We cannot like, okay, recruitment can be done through a recruitment agent or also a direct recruitment by employer. And that can happen locally as well through a recruitment agent and also cross-border from one country to another. And in this case, since the globalization is becoming something that is more and more obvious, freedom of movement, people migrate from one country to another, it obviously gives much more role to such a company, or in this case recruitment agents, to assist workers who would want to migrate to other country of origin. So at the same time, is a high demand on such service of a company of the recruitment agents that also, I think, allows them to put a high price on the service that they can provide. And at the same time, there is a very low awareness on the law and policies around the recruitment process, especially a migrant workers' recruitment, and not locally. So you see the gap. They know there are many people who are desperate to get a job abroad. And at the same time, these workers or prospective workers have no clue. And so when a sub-agent or, you know, like a broker, they approach the workers in Nepal village, they promise this and that, Malaysia is the best country, you will work with this employer. They simply just trust them. So I think that's the first thing. And of course, the gap on the low-end policy is also something that that is affecting to the current bad situations of working and living condition of migrant workers in the country of destinations. If they are not aware of their own country law and policy for migration, I think it's also very little chance for them to be aware of the law and policies in the country of destination. So being abused by the recruitment agent in the country of origin is only the first bad thing that happened to them. And when arriving in the country of destinations, there are more abuses, deception from the agents or company employers in the destination.
So, Lindu, going forward, what's next in getting this project up and running?
Moving forward, we will do the more outreach activities with the migrant workers. And also, we'll meeting with different stakeholders from governments, from the NGOs, trade unions, to seek more collaborations. And also, to teach the leaders, the workers' leaders, on how to use the internet, emails, yeah, so that they can also share the knowledge to the others. In order for them to not really dependent but more independent on going to the websites. Yeah. So I think it's very crucial to do the outreach activity for a moment.
And when would the website go online?
This one will be
answered by you. Last word for Ira.
Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, the website will go live early next month. Well, if you already click on the website link, which is recruitmentadvisor.org, the moment it's a temporary welcoming message on, and also there is an email address where you can contact us for the moment. The website development is taking a much longer time than expected because it involves many organizations, many countries, and also multiple languages and other back-end of the website challenges on the development.
Best of luck to the website launch, and I hope to get to speak to you again once it's launched and get an update on how it's going. Thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thank you.
If you miss any part of this interview, you can download the podcast via our BFM app. Thank you for listening. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.